From the National Press Club in Washington, D.C., this is Update One, the club's official podcast. It features newsworthy stories originating from the NPC facilities, as well as broader topics related to journalism, communications, press freedom, and transparency.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Update One. This is your host, Shannon Fisher. We have got an interesting and informative guest, a topic that relates to everyone, whether you know it or not. We're going to talk about cybersecurity. And my guest is Richard Steenen, and he has written a book entitled Security Yearbook 2024, A History and Directory of the IT Security Industry. And boy, is it packed with information. I had no idea there were so many aspects to this field. And Richard is going to be an excellent guest to give us an overview and some more information about cybersecurity. Richard, welcome.
Thank you, Shannon. It's great to be here.
You have had vast experience in this industry, and I had absolutely no idea how many intricate details were necessary to keep us secure while we are living in the digital space. This book is really, you call it a desktop reference for the entire cybersecurity industry. And one thing that I found incredibly interesting before even getting into the book is we were talking about the book and you said it doesn't come in a digital version for security reasons. Right. And that was absolutely fascinating to me. And so you talk about acquisitions, funding, banking, and lots of industry analysis. What made you decide to put together this very valuable resource?
Well, I was at the major industry conference in San Francisco in 2019. It's called the RSA Security Conference, and you know, tens of thousands of attendees. And I was signing my most recent book at the time, which was called Secure Cloud Transformation. And yeah, I had 400 people lined up around the conference show floor waiting to get a copy of my book. And everybody who came up was telling me how they're new to the industry and their employer sent them to this conference to learn about the industry. And I was just shaking my head thinking how difficult it would be to get a true grasp of what the industry is all about from walking a conference show floor. Later in the day, I was talking to somebody in a small booth, you know, a couple of startup founders. And they were telling me all about their new cool product. And I asked, well, is that like, you know, this old one that existed 20 years ago? And they looked at me blankly and said, who's that? And that's when it just hit me. I have to write a history of our industry to preserve, you know, our knowledge of what went before. And luckily, most of the pioneers are still with us, so I could reach out to them and get the stories of, you know, the founders of the first firewall company called Checkpoint Software, some of the first antivirus companies, Eva Chen from Trend Microsystems, the Katkar brothers from QuickHeal in India. And it all came together. It was a very fast process. The next year at RSA 2020, 2 weeks before COVID hit, I was launching my book. That was the first version, the first edition of Security Yearbook. And every year after that, it's a yearbook, so I update it. It's a living history with new stories from pioneers as well as what happened in the previous year. And now this year, very special, I think, because Wiley saw the value in it and took over publication of it from me. I was self-publishing originally.
And it really does make sense to update this annually because it is such a dynamic industry. It is arisen alongside the digital age. And as we're getting more information and as technology continues to increase at a rapid pace, the needs are increasing at a rapid pace. And also the tech industry is somewhat volatile. And so you've got chapters devoted to failures, one for deaths, mergers, and acquisitions. And you tell stories of startup life and working with the government and corporate gigs. So just tell me a little bit about your life experience in the cybersecurity realm.
Yeah, you know, I started my career as a automotive engineer. I'm here in Michigan and worked for 11 years, you know, designing car seats primarily for crashworthiness. And then along came the internet, and I feel like everybody who was there at the time felt like they discovered it, right? It's like they got on to something, the internet, and all of a sudden realized just how big it was going to be. And I was one of those people and started an ISP to give people dial-up access. And that was a fast learning curve. And within a year, I had joined another firm that's focused on security. And that was a great opportunity because the early pioneers in the industry would visit our office here in Southfield, Michigan. So I've got to meet all the founders of Checkpoint and the founders of ISS. And it was just early days, exciting times.
Yeah.
But that led me to a role at PricewaterhouseCoopers. And then from there to Gartner. Gartner is the industry analyst firm. Today, they're a multi-billion dollar company. Back then, they were less than a billion in revenue. And that's where my reputation was made as an industry analyst. Mm-hmm. And when I struck out on my own, I figured, as anybody who's doing consulting on their own does, I should have a book. So I wrote my first book in 2008. And it's been a ramp up ever since. This industry doesn't slow down. There's new news every day. There's new firsts every day, practically. I mean, this year alone, I'm already composing the chapter about 2025 for next year's book. And look at, we have an Israeli startup called Wiz, presumably, according to the Wall Street Journal, is going to be acquired for $23 billion by Google. That'll be the biggest acquisition ever. And even this morning, as we're talking, one of the big cybersecurity vendor, CrowdStrike, has to deal with the fact that they issued an update that crashed millions of computers around the world. We all woke up to this news, a global IT outage.
Right.
So it's exciting to track it all.
It's got to be. And it seems like kind of once this is in your blood and you make it your wheelhouse, you have to keep growing and learning and pushing and keeping up with technology. And there are so many different aspects of cybersecurity. You've got network security, data security, identity and access management, compliance, endpoint security, operations, application, data. I mean, so many different aspects of things that IT people have to keep straight and keep safe. So deception is a main tool with cyber threats. What is the main thing that the industry is doing to combat bad actors?
Yeah, so the category of deception is actually turning the tables on the bad actors, and you create a whole bunch of basically mirror resources on your network that look like they're computers and databases, etc. Mm-hmm. And you monitor them. So you look at them. They're like little labs, petri dishes, and you allow the attackers to find them. And then they find them and they go, "Ooh, this might be a good target." And they start using their tools on it. You learn about their tools and you learn that you're under attack. You might learn about who the attacker is, because at some point, if it's just every day, everyone's exposed to ransomware attacks or phishing attacks or business email compromise, and those are just people looking, using it's almost like spam, right? They send out thousands of messages hoping some fool will wire money to them, something like that.
Sure.
But if it's a targeted attack, right? If it's, a Russian SRV or GRU operatives, you want to be alerted that you're under attack from those. Just like, there's a huge difference between, being randomly mugged because you walked down the wrong alley and knowing that somebody's out to get you and they're going to follow you around until they can get you, right? And you want to know that as soon as possible.
Sure.
So thus the deception. And there's even deception capabilities called canary tokens that you embed in files. And if they're ever stolen and end up on somebody else's computer, they'll phone home and let you know that, hey, your file that you sent to this one other person now has ended up at, a competitor, maybe. And you get to know that because you've planted the deception techniques.
Amazing. It is so amazing. And it's so complicated, and the criminals are keeping up with the times just as quickly as the protectors are keeping up with the times. So how do you kind of monitor what threats are developing?
The threats kind of make themselves known to you if you're in the industry, because everybody you're connected to is going to talk about the latest and greatest, and there's constant discussion about how to address what these threats are or identify changes in the threat landscape. And we're getting better at being forward looking. People mm-hmm. now immediately go, if when there's a new technology like large language models and artificial intelligence, people immediately jump to what the bad repercussions could be and start talking about realistic deep fakes, better phishing emails because AI is going to help compose them, automated attacks because AI will be a programmable agent and you'll be able to say, hey, I want the secret sauce from Coca-Cola, go get it for me. And all of a sudden, computers doing the thinking and trying to get the secret sauce. You know, we're looking at and thinking about, and people are actually already creating defenses against these future attacks that could happen.
I'm very thankful for the professionals like you out there who are doing this. And so this is the podcast for the National Press Club. So do you have any recommendations for newsrooms as far as how they can better their cybersecurity efforts?
Yeah, in the initial phases, especially leading up to the 2016 election, there were a lot of attacks on newsrooms, and mm-hmm. a lot of effort went into newsrooms protecting their reporters and their data after that. And I think the newsrooms are in really good shape right now, right? Everybody's got a way for somebody to, for instance, anonymously provide tips that, you know, is encrypted and all the rest. So they're in pretty good shape. Most journalists, and even the folks I talk to at the press club, or there's a group within the National Press Club of other authors, and we get guest speakers about security and stuff. I think most are in good shape. The thing to think about, of course, if you're a technology reporter in any way, is to keep your finger on the pulse of where the industry is going. And there's, you know, of course, plenty of resources to do that. It's going to be part of any technology story, right? It's, you know, self-driving cars, airplanes, etc. All are going to have a cybersecurity component to them.
Sure, sure. And so what about independent journalists who are out there who are trying to talk to sources and get stories together while protecting their material outside of the large newsrooms? What kind of advice do you have for them?
Yeah, I would immediately switch to using a Macintosh computer. Then you immediately take yourself out of the realm of 99% of the attacks, right?
Because wow.
most of them are targeted at Windows PCs. Try to minimize your use of Google products, because Google is in the information business and they want your information. So it's not going to be safe. You know, it won't be completely safe if you've used Gmail, for instance, because Google can see everything you do. Back up your systems as often as you possibly can. Take advantage of a cloud backup, but I would periodically, because cloud might not be there, I would periodically back up to a physical hard drive that you kept in a desk drawer somewhere. And then for all of your online accounts, use the two-factor authentication that's offered. So, you know, Facebook, Twitter, whatever, make sure that you've got two-factor authentication there, because somebody will, you know, get upset at something you wrote and steal your account and say embarrassing things or sell Ray-Ban sunglasses, which seems to be the thing for cyber criminals.
I got hacked. Somebody didn't like something that I said. I got hacked and they started putting online poker things up on my website. So it really is kind of amazing. Someone can just not like something you say and then suddenly try to take over your technology. And you're thinking, this doesn't make any sense.
No, it's like, I guess it doesn't balance the whatever they're upset for. They should have replied, you know, in the forums or something.
Exactly. This is why we have such toxic social media sites up there. It's
You
a
said it.
forum for you to air your grievances, right? You don't have to air
Right.
them on my
That's right.
website, but and so that is all good advice for not just journalists, but everyone to keep their data safe. And so you kind of, I'm sure, feel a sense of stewardship for this industry and for the technology as it increases. Tell me what you see moving forward.
Wow, that is very perceptive of you, because as an industry analyst, that's one, I have to be an advocate for the industry, but I also have to call it out if there's shenanigans going on. Quite often people will say, "Oh, we're losing the battle," right? And the bad guys, all they have to do is to be right once, and the defender has to be right all the time. I really firmly believe that you can defend yourself, even against the most sophisticated attackers. At the very least, you can increase the expense. So, even sophisticated attackers like the NSA or China or Russia will use the easy stuff first, right? If you're blatantly vulnerable to a type of attack, they will use that before they waste their expensive tools on you. So, increase the cost for the attacker. And I've been in facilities that are just stand above everybody else in their defensive capabilities, and they really do ward off the most sophisticated attackers in the world. So I think that level of capability will spread to more and more industries. The greatest educator about cybersecurity is not CISA or me, no matter how much I pontificate. It is the attackers themselves. So if you just look at companies like, I don't know, Target when they got attacked, or SolarWinds, when they got attacked, they have extremely good security now because they learned of the repercussions from the embarrassment, the SEC lawsuits, etc., to beef up and have best of breed cybersecurity instead of good enough.
I'm going to be following along this industry now that my eyes have been opened, to just kind of see what is happening and what these new threats are. And I mean, from national security to identity theft to the way that our programs that we use every day for business and communication go, the cybersecurity industry is integral to all of that running in today's world.
Oh, sure. Wait until you see the attacks on critical infrastructure. We know they're possible. We know that attackers are embedded in our water utilities and our power grid. Nobody's pulled the trigger, but at some point that could happen, and we'll see disruption. We will see congressional hearings why we weren't doing enough, etc. And we know it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when.
So yes, back up to a cloud, but also have a hard drive backup, people,
You bet.
because you just never know. And our files are so integral to our ability to function these days that it's amazing whenever we lose power or internet, a lot of times we're paralyzed and can't function. So Richard Steenen, thank you so much for all of this wonderful information. The name of your book is Security Yearbook 2024, A History and Directory of the IT Security Industry. Thank you so much for all of this information and good luck with your book.
Thank you, Shannon.
For Update One, this is Shannon Fisher. See you next time.
You have been listening to Update One, the official podcast of the National Press Club, the world's leading professional organization for journalists and a vigorous advocate of press freedom worldwide. If you have any questions or comments about Update One, send an email to updateonepodcast@gmail.com.